because he brings us to this marvelous place where his greeting to them is peace. And it's okay to be quiet. Because you understand what we're talking about here. We're talking about peace. Not the way that we understand peace, but the way that God gives peace. We're talking about a peace that passes all human understanding, as the scripture says. A peace that engages us not simply at the level of our feelings, not simply at some sort of sense that we can have, but rather a peace that is fixed in the transcendent God, the Lord of all creation, who has now brought us from a world of turmoil and chaos, and through the finished work of his Son, has restored us to a state that was impossible for us to possess, and has now bestowed it upon us freely. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because you understand in this world there is no peace. We pray for peace. We ask for peace. But even Jesus said that he wouldn't even be able to bring peace. That there would still be struggle and turmoil in the world. And you see, if we look to the world to find peace, we aren't going to find it. If we're looking to the world in that somehow, you know, we're going to reach a point where the affairs of our life are settled enough to the point that we can say that we have peace, well, guess what? You know, you got a big surprise coming because you ain't going to find it. Peace is a transcendent quality in God that is now made imminent through the resurrection of his Son. When he speaks of peace, he speaks of this far greater concept of understanding that this is now a state of being for us. There is nothing that can rob us of our peace. Our peace is gifted to us through God. And that's why he told them this, is to understand you're now at peace. He says, you needn't fear anything before your God. You don't need to fear that somehow your God is waiting up there in the heavens, waiting for you to stumble or to fall. As a matter of fact, even as you heard Melissa read, well, you understand very clearly, God has given us this marvelous out through the blood of Jesus Christ, that even when we sin, we come before God with boldness and we receive forgiveness for our sin because God so loved our world that he gave us peace, that he wants us to have peace, that he wants us to live in that peace. And this is why he says he showed them then who he was. I'm actually not a ghost, you know, is what he was telling them. I'm not just a spirit thing, you know. I'm actually a living, breathing human being restored to life. And the disciples were happy then. So now it's okay to be happy. You know, otherwise you're looking like church people and they look like this. You know, now you can be happy. You see, you understand very clearly because the joy of God in Jesus Christ is visited upon his disciples and they're able to see and to know he's really risen from the dead. He really is living. He's risen from the dead. It's him, the same guy that we saw. But now he has completed his mission. The work is done. It's now complete. And so Jesus told them again, peace. Peace be unto you. But then he adds this next part. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And now you understand we've been sent into a chaotic world. It does not have peace. The world that we visit does not have peace. But we do. See, we have peace. And by the grace that God has given us through the power of this resurrection, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are enabled to do something that is impossible for human beings to do. We are enabled now through the gospel to bring peace to people. We're able to announce to them the joy of salvation. We are able to bring to them that marvelous forgiveness that is promised through the blood of Jesus Christ. We are enabled now to do that which human beings cannot do. But not only can we do it, we do it. Because that's our mission. And you understand now, that is our mission. That's our place in the world. We have been sent into the world. People will say, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life. And I'm looking at them like, well, you know, there's four books to read that you can figure it out. Because if you want to know what you're supposed to do with your life, you are supposed to be Jesus Christ in the world. And it's just that simple. We are to live Jesus Christ. We are to speak Jesus Christ. We are to be Jesus Christ. And that's why you understand. When he had finished saying this, then he breathed on them. And you recognize this. You know what this is. Because you've read Genesis and you know what God did when he created the man. Ha-Adam in Hebrew. When he created the human being. What he did is he took earth, which is Adama in Hebrew. He took earth. And then when he had taken that earth, he breathed his breath into it. And it says that Ha-Adam became a nefesh. He became a breathing being. He became a living soul. He now had the breath of life in him. And Jesus, when he rises from the grave, he breathes on his disciples. He breathes the breath of life back into their nostrils. And he says, receive the Holy Spirit. And you understand, in Greek and Hebrew, those words, breath and spirit, are identical. He says, he breathes in them the Spirit of God. He gives them the breath of life. He restores them to the breath of life. And then he tells them, I'm giving you the gospel. You now have this power amongst you. He says, this power is yours by the gift of the gospel. And by the power of the gospel, where you declare sins forgiven, they're forgiven through the gospel. And if one rejects the gospel, then the sins remain. But he's saying very clearly, this is now your role. You are Jesus Christ in the world. You engaged the world. And now you understand this whole thing we talked about all the way through Lent and all these things, this transformation, because the transformation now is done. Receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit is with you. The Holy Spirit becomes your spirit. The Holy Spirit now works and acts in you. And you and I are Jesus Christ in the world. And this is why these words are so significant, is to understand the power of the gospel. What we speak, they're not merely empty things. We aren't telling people, well, maybe there's a potentiality. No, no, no. If you place your trust in God through Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Not only are you forgiven, you have his grace for eternity. You have grace for eternity, and you have peace. Peace. Now it's okay to smile. You see, this is the whole point. We can't live a dour life and represent the peace of God to the world. Because people look at that and say, This is the most unhappy group of people I've ever seen on the face of my life. If they really had something, I would expect that they'd be a little bit different. You know, that they wouldn't walk around complaining about everything and saying how terrible the world is and how awful all this stuff is. Instead of understanding, my goodness gracious, what more is there that God could give us? He gave us the life of his only begotten Son, that now through him and in him, we live. Holy Toledo, if that don't make you smile, I don't know what will. The reality of things is, if we don't know the joy of his salvation, if we don't understand the joy and the power of that resurrection, then how do we ever expect that anybody else ever will? We read about what happened in the book of Acts with these guys that went through this. They suffered horribly. It says that when they were suffering, they sang praises to the Lord. They gave thanks. Peter, when he was beaten, he gives thanks. He thanks God that he's willing, that he's able to suffer in the same way Jesus did. He doesn't curse his enemies. He loves them. Just like Jesus says. And the witness of Peter and these disciples goes on throughout the world. And we read their witness all the time in the book of Acts. And we read and we see exactly what they did. And they changed the entire world because they knew God's peace. And the peace of God breeds grace. It speaks of grace. And even in the midst of the greatest sin, it speaks of a grace that is greater than all of our sin. It brings us to this marvelous and joyous place where we understand the fullness of the resurrection. But that fullness of that resurrection isn't just because we get a basket full of eggs one day a year. And that's only when we're kids. But the fact of the matter is that as we grow older, we understand the gift. That the gift of God is a constant reality for us. It is a constant thing. It is an everydayness. It is the way that we live. It is the way that we live when we get up in the morning and we look in the mirror and the first thing that we see, we understand very clearly, we're the children of the Most High God. His Holy Spirit is dwelling in us. And the power of that resurrection, the power has all been given to us, he says. Hallelujah. I have given you all power in heaven and earth, he says. All power in heaven and earth. He says, it's all been given to me. He says, I give it to you. And this is where we occupy our place. And that's why I want you to understand, this is where the transition is complete. The transformation is now done. We have come through this point. We are now newly created. We are the sons and daughters of the living God. We are his very, very children. And God, when he looks upon us, that's the only way that he looks upon us. He looks upon us as his very offspring. You know, you see Travis pulling Leon up here. You know, I don't see him doing that with anybody else. You know, I haven't seen him pick up anybody else and do that. I think there's probably be a little resistant. But the fact of the matter is, there's a reason why he does that, because Leon happens to be his son. And he really likes his son, I think. For most part, I've seen. And what does he do? Well, he hauls him all over the place. Kid's doing announcements. He's doing readings. He does everything. And you understand right away. Well, why? Why? Well, it's pretty obvious. He loves him. The thing we have to understand is that's the way God loves us. Exactly the same way. That God loves us in exactly the same way. That he made it so that we would constantly be in his company. That we would always be with him. That whatever he did, that we would participate in. Because that's what he wanted. He actually wants us to live that way. And this is what Jesus was saying. And Thomas, he wasn't there. So Thomas, he's another one of these spoils for us. You know, Thomas is like, well, I ain't going to believe in any of this stuff. You know, I have to have some proof, you know. So after 8 days, and the eighth day, if you're familiar with this, you know, that's the day of the recreation. I'm not going to go into detail of that. You can look it up, for crying out loud. You've got phones. So when you understand this, you realize that this is the day of the new creation, it's understood, the eighth day. And it says that now Thomas is there, and Jesus again appears. And what does he say? Well, peace be unto you. Thomas's reluctance doesn't keep him from receiving peace. And he says right away to Thomas, he says, go ahead then. You know, stick your finger in the nail holes, stick your hand in my side, and then he says, and then believe. He says, believe. And Thomas does that. And he says, my Lord and my God. And that's precisely the point. Jesus Christ is our Lord and our God. And he has restored us to the fullness of our humanity. He has given us all that there is to give. And he says then, after that, he says, because you saw me, he says, you did this. But blessed are all those people who attend Lorium Shining Light today. Blessed are all of those people throughout all the generations of history who don't ever see me, but believe. But believe. That's the transformation. It is by faith. We don't see it by sight. We know it by faith. And it comes to us from the grace of the very gracious God, who now refers to us as his very own children and doesn't know how to address us otherwise. He sees us only and fully complete in the finished work of Jesus Christ, so much so that his very spirit indwells us and prays for us and speaks for us in a way that we can't even understand. That God addresses God for us from within us so that we would receive in fullness day in and day out by his grace, that we would receive the peace of the living God. And that's why John says, and you got to understand, just beautiful what John does. He says, this thing of showing himself to Thomas, that was nothing. You know, that was easy. He says, Jesus did all sorts of other stuff. He said, he did all sorts of other things in the presence of his disciples. And he says, and they couldn't even be written in this book. You understand when you get to the end of chapter 21, he says, even the world wouldn't be able to contain the volumes of everything that Jesus did. He says, but these things are written. These things are written that you would believe. This is direction to the reader, hearer. These things are written that you would believe. And he says that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing, you would have life in his name. Oh my goodness. Believing by faith that you would have life in his name, that you would have life, life eternal, that you would have peace, that you would have grace, that you would have joy, that you would have all of the virtues that are promised, all of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that all of this would be in your life, that you would know, that you would experience all of this day in and day out. Glory be to God the Father through God the Son. For this is now the way that we live. We live now in a new life We do not live the way the world dictates to us to live. We do not live under the auspices of the world. We live free from the world, and we are free now for the world, because just as Jesus did, we are now free to serve the world in order to bring forth the gospel, in order to manifest the gospel. And there is nothing, there is no power on the face of this earth that can shake or remove that gospel. We go into the world understanding very clearly we already won. I don't know if you watch a basketball tournament. I feel sorry for those guys because they don't know if they've won yet. When they're out there playing the game, they don't know that they're going to win. Not only do we know we're going to win, we already won. We already won. And by the power of that victory through the blood of Jesus Christ and in the immensity of his grace and his gospel, we win the world. We win the world. The world does not overcome us. That's what Jesus says. The world can't overcome us. There is nothing, nothing that can overcome us. And I hate to tell you, well, I do. No, I don't hate to tell you. I mean to tell you. That's better than a basket of eggs. Because this is the gift that continues to give. It is a present reality for us always. And one day, we will close our eyes here, and we will open them there. And the fullness of that gift will surround us. And we will be so full of that gift. And you know, the strangest thing is going to happen. We're going to smile. And the other thing is, that smile is never going to come off our face. Because the joy of our salvation will be complete in the life and the fullness of his grace. Will be ours forever. And we won't have to experience by any of our senses. It will be the fullness of our reality. It will be the only thing that we know. The world needs to know that. You see? The world needs to know that. This isn't a gift that we hold on to. As a matter of fact, the gift multiplies by giving it away. By engaging the world with grace, we bring this marvelous other five-letter word, peace, to the world. And in doing so, we show very clearly that we are the sons and the daughters of the living God. So you know how this works. Happy Easter, because it wasn't just last week. It's every day. It's every day. To the glory of God our Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, that truly is who you are.